Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
COVID-19 news by the numbers. Hector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 1,964. Hector County negative, 8,698 out of 11,607 tested, with 945 pending. 19 deaths. Recovered, 816. Active cases, 1,129. Midland County, 1,266 confirmed cases, 22 deaths. Texas, 275,058 confirmed cases, with 2,864,541 tested. Total Texas deaths, 3,322. U.S. cases, 3,355,457 total confirmed cases, and 135,235 deaths. Find out more online at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. New Medical Center Hospital Death. Medical Center Hospital reported that a 61-year-old woman died from COVID-19-related complications at midnight on Tuesday. The patient was reportedly transferred from Reeves County, admitted to Medical Center Hospital on July 8th, and had pre-existing conditions, an MCH press release detailed. The release detailed that this was the 18th MCH patient to die from COVID-19-related complications. Medical Center Hospital has 51 COVID-19 patients in the hospital, with 9 patients in the critical care unit. 5 of them are on ventilators. All 5 patients are reportedly on ventilators in the overflow CCU. 37 other patients are on the 7th and 8th isolation floors. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. The city of Odessa has scheduled free mobile COVID-19 testing this month at the following dates and times and locations. Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at UTPB Park, Highway 191 and Loop 338. On July 21st, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Lawndale Park, 9201 Rainbow Drive. July 23rd, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Floyd Gwynn Park, 1015 North County Road West. July 28th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Slater Park, 1001 West 38th Street. On July 30th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Dan Hemphill Central Park, at 1201 East 13th Street. Only 200 tests will be administered at each event. The parking lot will open up at 7 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday. Do not arrive before then. Participants must remain in their vehicle with the window up until a testing team member approaches you. Bring ID. No appointments or pre-registration required. For children ages 3 and up, if the child is cooperative. For more information, call 582-7969 or visit odessa-tx.gov. Texas Workforce Solutions has scheduled a virtual job fair from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday. Jobs available include pallet sorter, cashiers, can, forklift drivers, room attendant, field representative, production, and more. full-time and part-time positions available. There is no cost to participate. To register, visit tinyurl.com/y89g5fsv or workintexas.com. Paranormal Circ has been scheduled Thursday through July 26 under the black and red Big Top tent in the parking lot of the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. Showtimes will take place at 7:30 p.m. on Thursdays and Fridays, and 6:30 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. Saturdays, and 5:30 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. on Sundays. For tickets or more information, visit tinyurl.com/YACQ8C3P or tinyurl.com/YA9E9GNF.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, July 15th, 2020. Continuing with Section A. County enacts burn ban. Expenditures authorized to beef up criminal justice system. Hearing that citizens had been calling to express their concern about alarmingly dry conditions in the withering 100-degree-plus weather of late, Ector County Commissioners Tuesday enacted a 90-day burn ban, carrying up to a $500 fine for violations. Precinct 3 Commissioner Dale Childers, a former Odessa Assistant Fire Chief, said there are some particularly worrisome areas in South Ector County where dry weeds and grass are high. The ban exempts activities okayed by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, like firefighters' training, public utility, natural gas pipeline and mining operations, and the planting and harvesting of agricultural crops. In other business during the two-hour meeting, the court authorized County Attorney Dusty Gallivan to spend $425,000 from the federal government's $2.6 million COVID-19 allocation to buy software and install video conferencing equipment to facilitate operations of the criminal justice system. Environmental Enforcement Director Ricky George's request to hire part-time investigators for $35 an hour to bolster the county's fight against illegal dumping was granted after George reported he was understaffed. George said certified officers are preferable because they can make arrests and that there are city and county officers interested in the jobs. Nobody wants to be a police officer right now, he said. On a motion by Precinct 2 Commissioner Greg Simmons, the commissioners unanimously rejected Gallivan's request to hire an investigator, with Simmons saying approval would have violated the county's hiring freeze and that they will consider the plan in the 2020-21 budget deliberations that will start next month. The court also approved budget amendments totaling $80,000 for autopsies and $20,000 for transport expenses in the medical examiner's office. Accepted a $750 donation to the sheriff's office from Sellers State Farm Insurance. Accepted a donation from Anthony Carrillo of 60 rifle slings for the sheriff's office. Accepted 300 COVID-19 masks from Medical Center Hospital. Approved paying overtime to maintenance employees instead of giving compensatory time. Okayed bid specifications for the purchase of emulsified asphalt for roadwork. Approved a $20,080 change order for concrete pads at the No Trees and Penwell radio towers. Okayed a communications license for Insight Towers to install radio equipment at the Troy Road Tower. approved a job description for a disease intervention specialist at the health department. Rejected a request from Rebecca Taylor for the county library to hire a librarian and replace two clerks who were assigned to the health department, adding that the matter will be reviewed in the 2020-21 budget talks. MOSC names interim director. The Midland-Odessa Symphony and Chorale Board of Directors announced the appointment of Ethan Wills as interim executive director. He will replace retiring executive director Jeanette Kolakoff, who has been with the organization since November 2012. I have greatly enjoyed my time serving the Midland-Odessa Symphony and Chorale. Thank you to all who welcomed me into the community. I am looking forward to enjoying my retirement, Kolakoff said. Wills will be responsible for overseeing the staff, musicians, and financial resources of MOSC. He will work to keep the symphony, a vital part of West Texas, through his leadership, while aiming to achieve the orchestra's goals of artistic excellence, community engagement, and educational outreach. Wills was chosen for his prior experience with music, education, and administration in West Texas over the past 6 years. Before joining MOSC, Wills enjoyed a successful career as a freelance musician and passionate music educator, working with ECISD, MISD, Midland Christian, and Trinity School. He is also in the process of completing his PhD in Fine Arts Administration at Texas Tech University, having degrees in music education and music performance. Jeanette Kolakoff has done an outstanding job with MOSC. I am excited to take over the leadership role and continue to build on the 58-year foundation of the organization. It's my goal to further develop the arts in our community, build new partnerships, and work to create a bright and vibrant future for the orchestra, Wills stated in a news release. The Midland-Odessa Symphony and Chorale's 2020-21 season is scheduled to begin in October and will include three masterworks and four pops and family concerts. It is the mission of MOSC to enrich lives through quality symphonic music and music education programs. For more information, please visit MOSC.org. Aspiring Leadership Academy Helping District to Grow Its Own by Ruth Campbell. A piece of Ector County ISD's initiative to grow its own educators comes in the form of the Aspiring Leadership Academy, aimed at giving assistant principals the skills to become school leaders. The initial call for applications was in November 2019. The applicants had to go through a really rigorous application process before they were chosen, and our very first meeting started January 16th, so it's been going on for the entire second semester, and it will carry on through the end of this year, Executive Director for Leadership Alicia Press said. 9 assistant principals were chosen for the academy, including Jance Morris, assistant principal at Odessa High School, Hector Limon, assistant principal at Odessa High School, Thaddeus McAllister, assistant principal at Odessa High School, Senovio Ortiz, assistant principal at Crockett Middle School, Fallon McLean, assistant principal at San Jacinto Elementary, Jennifer Bizzell, assistant principal at Jordan Elementary, Paula Danheim, assistant principal at Hayes STEAM Academy, Christopher Hancock, dean of students at George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa, and Tiffany Rickman, assistant principal at Blackshear Magnet Elementary. Danheim has since been named principal of Hayes STEAM Academy. The district has had something similar before, but it didn't follow the same approach, Press said. The previous version followed more of a professional development style, where one of the district leaders would present more of an informational session. The Aspiring Leadership Academy follows a different approach. We actually follow the 70-20-10 model for learning and development. And that 70-20-10 model holds that individuals get 70% of their knowledge from job-related experiences, 20% from collaborating with other people, and 10% from those formal stand-and-deliver educational opportunities, Press said. The academy was open to all the district's internal sitting assistant principals. They had to complete an application, an essay, and undergo an interview. It was then whittled down to 9 participants. Definitely, COVID-19 has thrown a wrench into our plans because it's made it significantly more difficult to be on campus and following this 70-20-10 model. But we've been able to continue in a virtual environment. And actually, with having to switch to a virtual environment, we've had so many more leadership opportunities that presented themselves that the aspiring leaders got to fill. So that's really been a really exciting part of the project, Press said. 2 examples were ECISD at Home on the CW network that offered 5 days of programming for parents and different ages of students throughout the week, and the daycare center for the local medical community at Zavala Elementary, set up by Danheim. While COVID put a kink in our plans, I think it actually provided some more significant leadership opportunities than what they had before, Press said. After completing the academy, Press said participants will be given a chance to continue all the way to their principalship. So while their year will end, we do have a suspicion that many of them will want to continue, so we'll leave that open to them, Press said. Even if there aren't available principal spots for academy graduates right away, Press noted that they can use what they've learned in their current positions. Everything that we're doing is intentionally designed to be relevant to what's going on in the current buildings, Press said. She added that ECISD has created a leadership pipeline to ensure that the community is growing its own leaders who are able to fulfill the school chief role. As with teachers, Press observed that it has been difficult to find principals from outside the area to come to ECISD. We studied what competencies teachers need to have to be successful assistant principals, and what assistant principals need to have to be successful school leaders. So this Aspiring Leadership Academy was birthed from this idea that we need to build competencies and strengths inside of our own assistant principals in order to make sure that they have the skills that they need to be strong and effective principals. Overseeing the academy is a collective effort of Press and her fellow executive director of leadership. So it doesn't all fall on my plate. It's a shared responsibility, she said. We also rely heavily on other district leaders to make sure that the aspiring leaders have a broad vantage point of different leadership positions within our organization, Press said. Andrea Martin, an executive director of leadership, said the stringent interview and selection process that the executive directors of leadership established for the Aspiring Leadership Program helped them land a group of highly motivated and dedicated assistant principals. This year, we worked with 9 high-quality assistant principals in our district, Martin stated in an email. The program was designed to focus on the state principal standards, as well as competencies, which we developed to clearly define the role of what an outstanding leader in ECISD must be able to do. Monthly sessions prior to COVID-19 were face-to-face, and were focused on executive decision making, as well as a book study where participants made connections between the effective leadership actions in the text to the state standards. All participants were also required to choose a job-embedded project where they could experience the entire cycle, including identifying a problem or task, involving appropriate stakeholders, pre-planning, implementation, monitoring, and evaluating the effectiveness of the final work, she stated. COVID-19 shifted some of the work they were doing. Sessions included topics such as leading through an experience like this pandemic and identifying what culture is and how to develop a plan to ensure fidelity, Martin stated. Because this situation also changed the context of their original projects for most, participants were challenged to take on district-level projects such as technology distribution, supervising the summer daycare center for city health employees, researching websites of other districts, creating an emerging leadership academy to grow leadership capacity, reviewing the district school supply list, and reviewing policy, Martin said. Participants will have a chance to share the lessons learned from their projects and or work when the sessions resume in September. Throughout this work, the executive directors of leadership have been able to target learning for this small group, stretch their thinking past the current campus assistant principal role, and increase their own professional learning networks. The current aspiring leaders have completely embraced the work that they have been involved in and are hungry to continue their learning. We could not be any prouder of the commitment that these leaders have made to ECISD, Martin wrote. Foundation Awards Grant for Bird Conservation. Alpine. Thanks to the Dixon Water Foundation, the Borderlands Research Institute, BRI, will enhance a songbird conservation program that will connect landowners, birders, and the public through community engagement activities. The $25,000 grant will fund field trips focused on birds and implement a citizen science project that will monitor bird populations on private ranches. The Dixon Water Foundation is supporting this new effort because birds provide a great indicator of ecological health of the land and waterways of the Chihuahuan Desert, Dixon Water Foundation President and CEO Robert J. Potts said. Birds are also an excellent way to engage and educate the public on the importance of well-managed watersheds. Birds provide a visible nexus between land, water, and people. In 2016, BRI launched a comprehensive study evaluating wintering grassland birds on private lands in West Texas. During the first two field seasons, BRI's bird conservation specialist, Miki Titulaer, was successful in involving the birding community across Texas in bird capture activities. Volunteers from all over Texas traveled to Marfa to participate in bird captures. More than 230 volunteers helped us gather data over the course of 2 years, and that enthusiasm confirmed the potential for enhancing our songbird conservation program at BRI. Lewis Harvison, who is the Dan Allen Hughes Jr. BRI Endowed Director and Regents Professor of Wildlife Management at Sul Ross State University, said, "We are immensely grateful to the Dixon Water Foundation for being the wind beneath our wings for this program." The goal of the Songbird Conservation Program is to advance the awareness, appreciation, and conservation of birds in West Texas. The grant will allow BRI to implement a number of new initiatives to engage citizens in songbird conservation. Those activities could include birdwatching excursions on private ranches, bird photography workshops, and educational seminars. In addition, a citizen science project will be developed that will document bird populations on private ranches through long-term monitoring efforts. We're really excited about ramping up this program, Titchelaer said. It has been gratifying to interact with so many volunteers who are so enthusiastic about our work. They helped us gather the data we needed for our research and sparked the idea for a bird outreach program and citizen science project that led us to successfully applying for this grant. We're looking forward to getting it off the ground. With more than 500 birds in the borderlands region of Texas, it is no wonder that West Texas is a favorite destination among birders. Birding is one of the main outdoor recreational activities from which landowners can derive substantial income. A national survey has documented that wildlife watching contributed $1.3 billion to the state's economy in 2001. For more than a decade, the Borderlands Research Institute has encouraged effective land stewardship of the Chihuahuan Desert. Housed at Sol Ross State University, the Borderlands Research Institute builds on a long-lasting partnership with private landowners, the university's Range and Wildlife Program, and cooperating state, federal, and non-governmental organizations. Through research, education, and outreach, the Borderlands Research Institute is helping to conserve the last frontier of Texas and the Southwest.
Health and wellness. Power through. Midlander keeps weight off during pandemic. Topps' Texas King loses more than 200 pounds. By J.C. Lewis. jc.lewis@hearstnp.com. Midlander Danny Lebowski started losing weight 2 years ago by joining the Topps Take Off Pounds Sensibly Club after his sisters, Debbie Dickens and Margaret Diaz, had joined. The 63-year-old was named the Topps Texas King for 2019 after losing more weight than any other male Topps member in the state. However, when the pandemic hit, he didn't have the usual support system that had helped him lose weight and keep it off. "I didn't have support from the church, no Topps, even the doctor's office," he said. "I didn't even go over to my sister's until Memorial Day. I started lapsing into the old habits of eating and laying around." Lebowski had lost more than 203 pounds through the education and support group that has chapters in the U.S. and Canada. He said when he started Topps, it was a non-exercising program. He had his pacemaker replaced at the beginning of the year and was motivated to get outside. "So I started walking," he said. "I thought I can't do much, but I'll start walking 1 mile." Since he started walking in June, he has kept increasing his miles, and now he is doing 6 miles a day. He will jog for 3 miles and then walk back the 3 miles. He lives in the country and will walk along Rankin Highway from County Road 140 to Interstate 20 every morning except Sundays. He said he would like to lose about another 20 pounds, but since he has started walking, he has built muscle. Lebowski said before he started Topps, he was about 6 feet round at his waist, and at his heaviest, he weighed 456 pounds. He said when he turned 60, he developed diabetes and heart problems. He wants people to know they should be proactive about their health before it's too late. "My one message to people is to lose weight before you damage your health," he said. He said before losing weight, he had issues doing daily activities such as getting out of bed, walking to the kitchen, or bathroom. He found another doctor who helped him develop a weight loss program and helped with his diet. Topps also helped him with portion control. He said he doesn't try to deny himself certain foods that he will eat for special occasions, and always in moderation. "I was overweight all my life," he said. "I didn't know I would be so stubborn for 51 years. Even after I had my heart problems, it took me another year until I woke up and realized I needed to do something." He said starting Topps Club with his sister Debbie helped light a fire in his competitive spirit. He encourages others to get a buddy who will help encourage their weight loss journey. He said the people in Tops are inspirations to help him continue to keep his weight off. Studies. Teens' alcohol, drug use increases during summer. From staff reports. Studies have shown that alcohol and drug use among adolescents increases during summer months, according to a press release from Texas Health and Human Services Prevention Resource Center Region 9. Among the most abused substances are alcohol, vaping, and marijuana, according to the release. HHS's annual Texas School Survey found the average age of first use of alcohol by West Texas youth is 13. 34% of West Texas students say they are currently using alcohol. 14% of West Texas students say they are high-risk users. Almost half of all 12th graders in West Texas have used an e-cigarette. 54% of West Texas teens think e-cigarettes are harmful. 34% of West Texas high school students think e-cigarettes are not dangerous or dangerous at all. Marijuana continues as a drug of choice among youth and adults in Region 9, as legalization efforts succeeding in various states across the U.S., according to the release. The Region 9 Center is a program of the Permian Basin Regional Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse.
Obituaries for Wednesday, July 15th. Margarito Tito Calderon. Margarito Calderon, known as Tito, passed away July 7th. He is survived by his brothers, Antonio and Robert Calderon, sister Ella Alvarez, and sister-in-law, Evelia Calderon. His mother was Tomasa and father Margarito, and siblings who preceded him in death are Adalberto, Beto, Rudolph, Johnny, and Elizabeth. Tito's life will be celebrated with family and friends at a later time. Announcement for a celebration of his life will be made as soon as the situation allows. Ronnie Lester Nunley, Big Spring. Ronnie passed away July 11th and was about to celebrate his anniversary with his wife, Margaret Nunley. Ronnie was born December 11th, 1936 in Stonewall, Oklahoma, the oldest of seven children born to Marie and Perry Nunley. He married Margaret in 1969. Ronnie was preceded in death by his wife, Margaret, his parents, Marie and P.L. Nunley, two brothers, Scott and Perry L. Nunley, Perry's wife, Linda, and their children. He is survived by his son, Pat Armstrong, and wife, Joy, of Big Spring, daughter, Jean Armstrong, of Oceanside, California, two grandsons, one granddaughter. He's also survived by two brothers, Dan and wife Marie Nunley of Midwest City, Oklahoma, and Stan and wife Ida Nunley of Safford, Arizona. He has surviving sisters, Elaine and husband Pete Monning of Katy, and Kathleen and husband Steve Monning of North Carolina, seven great-grandchildren, and 18 nieces and nephews and cousins. In lieu of flowers, please feel free to donate to your favorite charity. Visitation will be from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday, with a vigil service at 7 p.m. Tuesday at Myers and Smith Chapel. Funeral Mass will be at 10 a.m. at Holy Trinity Catholic Church, with graveside service at 2 p.m. Wednesday at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. Arrangements are under the direction of Myers and Smith Funeral Home. Online, www.myersandsmith.com. Kathy Ann Coates, Granberry. The family of Kathy Ann Coates will celebrate her life of 62 years at 10:30 a.m. Friday, July 17th at First Christian Church in Lubbock. A time of fellowship and remembrance is scheduled from 5:30 to 8 p.m. Thursday, July 16th at Lake Ridge Chapel and Memorial Designers. She passed away July 11th. Visitors can express sympathy at www.memorialdesigners.net. Kathy was born July 29th, 1957, in Lubbock to Jean and Frankie Thomas. She married Mark Coates in 1981. Survivors include her husband, Mark Coates of Granbury, son Joshua Coates of Weatherford, sisters Carol Gomez of Abilene, Connie Sanders of Tuscola, and Dawn Calden of Weatherford, several nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her daughter, Crystal Coates, brother Harley Thomas, mother Frankie Thomas, father Jean Thomas, stepfather Glenn Mayfield, and her grandparents. In lieu of flowers, memorial gifts may be made to the donor's favorite charity, or the Kelsey Logan Angel Fund has agreed to take a final donation in Kathy's memory. Post Office Box 5072, Midland, 79704. Patricia May Nicely. Patricia May Nicely, 86, of Odessa, passed away Sunday, July 5th at her residence. She was born March 2nd, 1934, in La Mesa to the late Regenia May Wilson and William Elvis Solomon. Patsy is survived by her son, Bobby Kidd, sister Joyce Baglin, 10 grandchildren. She is preceded in death by her daughter, Diana Hayes, her parents, and a sister, Betty Francis. Graveside services were held Wednesday, July 15th at the Dawson County Cemetery. Death notices. Irma Sylvia Bissey. Irma Sylvia Bissey, 80, of Odessa, died Saturday, July 11th. A memorial service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Saturday, July 18th at Acres West Funeral Chapel, with Danny Morris officiating. Mary Jo Clark Briley. Mary Jo Clark Briley, 94, of Odessa, died Friday, July 10th. A funeral is scheduled for 1 p.m. July 16th at Odessa Bible Church. Interment will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens, with Pastor Bob Thayer officiating. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Dennis Fryer Sr. Dennis Fryer Sr., 76, of Odessa, died Thursday, July 9th. A funeral service is scheduled for 11 a.m. July 16th at Pilgrim Rest Baptist Church in Odessa. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery, Funeral Home, and Crematory of Midland. Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, July 12th, 2020. Military Consumer Month. Employment Scams Targeting Military Families. By Heather Massey, Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin. BBB.org. July is Military Consumer Month, which is a perfect time to reflect on how the marketplace affects service members and their families. Last year, BBB released the Military Consumers and Marketplace Trust Report, which revealed military consumers report more scams and more money lost. With the arrival of COVID-19, BBB launched a report investigating employment scams, the riskiest scam 2 years in a row. Layoffs and the need to work from home led to an increase in employment scams. Unfortunately, that means military consumers, especially military spouses and veterans, are disproportionately facing this difficulty. On average, the civilian consumer lost $1,000 to employment scams. Service members lost a significantly higher amount at $1,680. Military spouses lost $1,825, and veterans $1,905. If you're a service member, military spouse, or veteran searching for employment, use these tips from your Better Business Bureau to avoid scams. Be aware of unusual procedures. Job offers without interviews are a red flag of employment scams, as well as employers that overpay and ask to wire back the difference. Take note of companies that promise opportunities or high income if you pay them for training. Check official job postings. Scammers will often use emails, social media, or online job boards to reach targets. They are also known to use actual company names, addresses, and human resource contacts found on the internet. If a job posting seems too good to be true, go directly to the company website and check their career page directly. If a website is charging you for information about a job opening, it is probably a scam. Educate yourself. Being aware of how a scam works is key in protecting yourself and your wallet. For example, some jobs, such as secret shoppers or caregivers, are more likely to be fronts for employment scams. You can visit bbb.org/scam tracker to see what employment scams look like in your area. Visit bbb.org/military for more military consumer resources. Report scams at bbb.org/scam tracker.
Suggestion for Itching Ears. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach from the Odessa American, Wednesday, July 15th, 2020. Dear Dr. Roach, I read your response to the guy with itching ears in a recent column. I have that problem from wearing hearing aids. The itching is near the surface. I asked a pharmacist what to use, and he recommended 1% hydrocortisone on a cotton swab. This solved my problem, and I have used it for years. Answer. I appreciate your writing. Hydrocortisone is an effective but nonspecific treatment for itching on the skin. In the case of hearing aids, it may be that your skin is having a slight reaction to the material of the hearing aid. Many people get itching ears without hearing aids. In this case, occasionally treating the symptoms with hydrocortisone is reasonable. If it doesn't work, the ear canal needs an exam. Eczema is a common problem in the ear canal. I am also cautious about using cotton swabs in the ears. For applying medicine near the outside of the canal, a swab should be safe, but you should be very careful with any instrument inserted into the ear, as careless swabbing can perforate the eardrum.
Dear Abby, unhappy husband jumps from frying pan into fire. Dear Abby, I went through an ugly divorce. My second wife, Marcy, is a liar, a cheat, and a thief. She claims she's religious, but she gambles. She opens bank accounts that I'm not aware of. She tries to justify what she has done, but she calls constantly if I leave the house. She claims she's jealous. I think it's more of a control issue, and I leave for peace of mind. Recently, her relatives asked for a private meeting to discuss her behavior and shared what I feared. Afterward, I called her supposed ex-husband, and he told me they are still married. When I asked Marcy to show me her divorce papers, she refused. I have talked with my pastor and attorney. They said give her 6 weeks and then move on. What do you suggest? Taken for a fool in Alabama. Dear Taken, listen to these two unbiased advisors. Secure any property or information Marcy might use to take further advantage of you, and take comfort in the fact that because you are not legally married, you are not responsible for any debts she has or will run up. Understand that Marcy is a con artist, and please do exactly what your pastor and your attorney have instructed. If she keeps calling, block her or change your phone number. And if she stalks you, and she may, talk to the police. Dear Abby, Lila, a friend from my high school days I hadn't seen for years, called me out of the blue and said her mom wanted to see me again. Her mother and I had been friends for years. Mom was a special lady, and I always admired her, so I agreed. When I arrived at the restaurant, I greeted them, and we engaged in a little conversation. When I went to order, Lila pulled out a sales book she was selling items out of. Because I didn't want to disappoint her mother, I looked at each item. The only thing I could afford was an umbrella for $29. I already had a $5 one at home, my budget. Abby, I felt used and insulted. Lila's only goal was selling me something, not reuniting me with her mother. Lila is better off financially than I am. She owns her own home and drives a brand new SUV. My car was bought used for $2,000. How do I tolerate a person like her? She wants all she can get, even if it means using an old friend. By the way, she was decked out in her fashionable finest and ordered the cheapest thing on the menu. Sad friend on the East Coast. Dear sad friend, you do not have to tolerate a person like Lila, and you should not feel pressured to buy something from anyone that you don't want or need. If Lila calls again, inform her that you are not interested in anything she is selling and in the call. Dear Abby, I've gotten into wearing swim trunks in the summer as normal attire. They're good for the hot sheets, and no one has said anything. I pair them with a white t-shirt or no shirt. I plan to do it again this summer. What do you think? Cool dude in Pennsylvania. Dear dude, if you're in great shape and the neighbors aren't scandalized, then what I think doesn't matter. Swim, suit yourself. I will, however, offer this. A wise woman once advised me to always look my best when I went out because invariably, if I didn't, I'd encounter someone I wished I looked better for and regret that I hadn't made more effort. And you know what? She was spot on. Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Cancer and a moon in Taurus. Happy birthday for Wednesday, July 15, 2020. Influential and inspirational, your magnetic influence over others is undeniable. Your material talents will be harnessed this year to create a masterpiece. You become a leader in your field. If single, you can become obsessed with someone who rejects you, and this slows you down. Form your ethics early. If attached, you're like two peas in a pod. Everything exactly as it should be. Leo prowls with pride and dignity. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. Security and cash flow issues are highlighted today. Much can be accomplished if you combine your analytical ability and forethought with the actions you initiate at this time. An old love can return. Children are a source of concern. Tonight, venture into unfamiliar territory. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 5 stars. Friends offer challenges and stimulating ideas. But for the most part, you will feel the urge to keep a low profile. Secretive. There is much you would prefer not to reveal. Solutions to difficult financial situations are in the wind. Tonight, your life moves forward. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 5 stars. Endings and beginnings must be balanced. Be alert to new trends in your professional sector. Networking leads to opportunity, and friends can truly be a blessing. A friend suggests charitable projects. Tonight, a new state of mind and new interests. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Social contacts impact your credibility. Elements of fate and fantasy affect your career today. Expressing imaginative ideas assures success. If you have always wanted to enroll in classes or write, Now is the time. Tonight, you will be drawn toward altruistic interests. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. A friendship with a foreign-born or very intellectual friend might lead to romance. You decide, attached Leo. You have greater vitality and clarity of thought. Enjoy this time of progress and accomplishment. Ignore the romance. Tonight, you have better fish to fry. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 3 stars. Be patient if negotiating a pay raise. Employ humor and perspective. This helps you win your case. Be wary of advice that contradicts your better judgment regarding money. A friend gets in touch after 3 years out of the blue. Tonight, a Gemini is involved. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. One whom you cherish celebrates a success. Graciously allow them to take center stage. Write a wish list of desires you would like to manifest. An old hurdle is overcome. Diplomacy is essential in your delicate negotiations. Tonight, use care in making promises. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 3 stars. Health and fitness factors surface today. It is the perfect time to transform any negative habits. Try to schedule some body work. Massage, shiatsu, lymphatic drainage, whatever you need most. Schedule it today. Tonight, take the night off for yourself. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 5 stars. An old love might return. Children are a source of both joy and concern. Invitations come to travel and visit, the first time since the quarantine began. Planning a party for coworkers is a great option for making the best of today's benevolent influence. Tonight, celebrate. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 2 stars. Family members offer ideas about interior decorating, family travel, and household dynamics. It immediately brings residence and family issues to the fore. The structure of your family life is in flux. Tonight, gracefully accept the fact that family ties change as time passes. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 2 stars. A vehicle might need servicing or replacement. Be aware of events in your neighborhood that affect you. Stay on top of home repairs and security. A sense of purpose guides you toward worthwhile goals. Tonight, exercise provides the perfect release. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. New strategies are worth examining. Partnerships are active. An associate has ideas about business and security needs. Enjoy candlelight during social situations that involve business negotiations. Attitudes about long-term goals are changing. Tonight, your feelings about several friendships are in flux. Born today, artist Rembrandt van Rijn, 1606, suffragette Emmeline Pankhurst, 1858, singer Linda Ronstadt, 1946.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.